Blog Talk Radio. Firefly Willows LIVE presents Evolve, featuring your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us on this episode of Evolve, Nurturing the New in Consciousness, the Arts, and Culture, with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. The arts and evolving consciousness are how we are bringing that change to the culture at large. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of the times we are in. Your host in helping you evolve is Robin White Turtle Lisney, who received her master's in fine arts from Mills College in creative writing in 2012 and her PhD in energy medicine in 2013. She is an author of three books, the most recent being Heart Path, Learning to Love Yourself and Listening to Your Guides. She has published poetry in many literary journals and numerous anthologies, and her poem First Step was selected for reading by survivors at the Virginia Tech Memorial Bench dedication in April 2010. In addition to her writing, Robin is also an artist whose work has been shown widely throughout the Midwest and East Coast. Robin White Turtle Lisney is a psychic medium and energy medicine practitioner through East West Bookstore in Mountain View, California, through her office in Santa Cruz, California, and across the country by phone. Robin travels across the country as a speaker and leading workshops. To find out more about Robin, you can visit her website at www.thecenterforthesoul.com. So take a breath, relax, and let yourself evolve with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney.
You, if you're interested in evolution. I'm Robin White Turtle Lisney, and I'm here today to talk about some new books that I have that are coming out, and also to let you know about some events that are occurring in the Bay Area. I'm going to be doing a shaman's workshop on Saturday, July 27th in Los Gatos from 1 to 5, and this workshop will be pretty exciting because what we're going to be doing is actually listening to the earth and listening how the earth can help us understand ourselves in a better way. I'm also doing a workshop on the 28th of July, Heart and Soul, Soul Collage and Heart Path with Janet Trenchard, who has taught in the public schools for 12 years. Before retiring to pursue her own artistic pursuits. She's an artist and a writer, and her assemblages have been exhibited all over the Bay Area. She's presently an exhibiting member of the Los Gatos Museum's gallery, and her poems and stories have been published in Porter Gulch Review. She is a trained soul collage facilitator, and she's working to hybridize soul collage process with Heart Path. she and I will be working together on this workshop, and we've had a great success the last couple of months, and we're looking forward to another round of working with Soul Collage and Heart Path together. I'll be talking about Heart Path a little later in the show. I also offer meditations around the Bay Area in Los Gatos and Santa Cruz. Tonight, actually, we have one going on Summit Road in Los Gatos. And if you have interest in that and you're in the Bay Area, you can go to my website, thecenterforthesoul.com, and give me a call or send me an email, and I will be happy to tell you more about it. So this year is a banner year for me because last year I spent the preceding several years writing and diving into research and doing all kinds of work on books. And so this year I'm hoping to get some of those books published. The most current one that I have going right now is called Heart Path Handbook. And it's a guide to transforming patterns of the ego from fear and anger to love. And it's for therapists and healers and health practitioners. This book was my dissertation for the University of Natural Medicine in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was able at that school to write it as a book. So it allowed me to write it to an audience of potential healers and therapists rather than to my board of people that were reviewing my thesis. So that helped to shorten the amount of time that it took me to write the book, to transform it into a book. And I'm very excited about this book because for the first time in 25 or 30 years of private practice, I'm going to start teaching what I know about how to transform people's fear and angers into love. This Heart Path meditation was given to me through my spiritual guidance many years ago. It came through a friend of mine who is named Sally Atterton, who was a channel and a medium at the time. And at the time, I was a massage therapist, and I was trading sessions with her, as most of us trade from time to time with practitioners that we know and trust. And in this case, Sally started channeling my guides, which was quite a big surprise. So when she started channeling my guides, one in particular named Wulan, that's W-U-L-A-N, Wulan began to speak through me or through her and talk to me about my potential, what I could do and who I am and all of that kind of stuff. Not to pad my ego at all, but to help me to evolve in my own spiritual process. And he began with a meditation. Some of this meditation, there are different kinds of self-reflective meditations all over the country, all over the world. But this particular one, unbeknownst to me, was based on a form of meditation called bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is a form of Tibetan meditation that is a self-reflective process. So in the process of doing this meditation over the years, which we began to call Heart Path, the Heart Path process helped me to evolve into a greater state of awareness. And I began to use it with clients as I began to do energy healing and energy medicine. And I've used it ever since for clients and for the people that I work with. And now my practice is primarily helping people move through difficulties, traumas in their lives, and come into a state of peace. And the Heart Path process is what I usually use in that in my toolkit. So my toolkit of working with clients includes this process, and it is actually one of the primary processes I use because it's so effective. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about that today and give you kind of an overview of what this Heart Path process is all about. Now, it was only a few months ago that I was in the East West Bookshop in Mountain View, where I work on Fridays, and they had a group of Tibetan monks that were there, and that's when I found out that this meditation was based on what's called bodhicitta. There I was talking to some of the monks about the processes that they use for their own transformation, and I mentioned Heart Path, this process, and they said, oh yes, it's called bodhicitta, which means enlightened heart, or the enlightened heart. So it allows people to bring aspects of themselves to their heart, to the ones that are afraid, the ones that we reject, and it helps them to transform them. So what I talk about in this book, which is very exciting to me, is that I'm able to help people understand that as we transform in our inner selves, we are actually transforming ourselves to the big S self, the unconditionally loving presence of our very being, the authentic self, the part of us that can be in a loving state with all that's around us. This is the process of transformation on a personal level that everybody has to go through at some time or another. And it isn't necessarily one that we choose lightly, because it is a process that challenges us. I have a great quote here that talks about the process of transformation and what it's really about. This is from Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, from Self-Realization Fellowship. He says, "The ego is the soul attached to the body. Like waves on the ocean, human beings play for a time, caught by the storm of delusion, the ocean. However, is all that time pulling, sooner or later, all of them will have to be drawn back to merge at last into the vast ocean of divine love from which they came. Self-realization is realizing your true self as the great ocean of spirit by breaking the delusion that you are this little ego, this human body and personality." So what Heart Path does, it addresses this by helping us see the parts of ourselves that feel separate. We have lots of parts of us that feel alone and separate. It could be a child aspect that felt rejected at the time of our early childhood, or it could be an adult self, a teenage self, a part of us that did not get all of our needs met when we were younger. We have lots of these inner parts, and when we pay attention to them and listen to them and identify them age-wise, then we can be compassionate and love them into transformation. And that's what the Heart Path process is all about. So what you do in this meditation is you first get very grounded and you come into the heart and identify several different archetypes that help us to understand who we are. Those archetypes are five that we have identified in the brain and in the body, and those are the inner child, the animal nature, the feminine, the masculine, and the high self, or the observer nature. These five aspects of ourself are actually part of our physiology. They're part of our brain stem. The animal nature could be considered the brain stem. The high self or the observer nature would be like connected to the corpus callosum, which is that marvelous brain function in the inside of our brains between the right and left hemisphere that helps us to recognize who we are the greater I self. And then there's the right and the left hemisphere, the masculine and the feminine, the right brain, the left brain. Our animal nature, again, brain stem, and the inner child is often the back brain, sometimes it is the visual cortex, but they all control aspects of our bodies, and they're part of who we are as a human being. So the more that we transform those aspects, the more we can embrace them. And what I've learned in energy medicine is that energy medicine is not a process of saying what's wrong with you and let's fix it. It's more a process of recognizing that the person is already whole and that all the aspects are there, that there's just not the coherence that they need to function as well as they could. And so when you start to love yourself, you actually function at a higher level than you do if you're functioning by putting yourself down or reducing your power, reducing yourself. So that's what the Heart Path process is about. In the book, I am really happy to share different circumstances that I have with different clients and how they people segment themselves and how we can repair it, actually in really short order. The nice thing about the Heart Path process is that it doesn't take 10 years of psychotherapy to get over issues. You can move through it very quickly. And it doesn't mean that you have to move through it quickly. It means that as you evolve, that these, when you address the underlying issues, that these underlying issues can be dissolved. And then the structure that's keeping it together just starts to dissolve. So it's a very exciting process in helping people transform themselves because it's very, very effective. I'm going to be doing a workshop on this actually in September and hopefully launching my book September 15th and 13th of 13th and 14th of September. I'll be doing a workshop at East West Bookstore, a free talk on Friday night the 13th, and a workshop on Saturday. And then this next year, I'm going to be launching a training program, which I'm very excited about. And that training program will be helping practitioners learn to use HeartPath in a way to help their clients transform, the ones that are ready to do that transformation work. So what I'd like to do is take a little break right now, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about HeartPath, HeartPath Handbook, this guide for transforming patterns of the ego from fear and anger to love. And then we'll also be talking about some other books that I have coming out that I'm very excited about. So we'll take a break and we'll be back in just a minute. And I'm your host for Evolve, and you're back on Blog Talk Radio with Firefly Willows Live. Today we're talking about the Heart Path Handbook, which is a new book I have coming out. And I'm very excited to share this new book with you. It has so much in it that can help people heal their underlying issues under disease, under mental health issues, depression. It can really support people on so many different levels. I love that Afrobeat that I just played because it gets into the primal rhythms of ourselves. One of the things Western culture doesn't really want to claim very much about who we are is our animal nature. And I want to talk a little bit about our animal nature because that is a fundamental part of who we are. We have evolved out of a several million year history of a creative and fecund universe that has loved us into being. And our animal nature definitely is part of that. We cannot really deny procreate without animal nature. So when we think of our animal nature, we are actually connecting with our brain stem, our primal base nature. And in the heart path process, when we begin, we bring in the animal nature. If I were to guide you into your heart right now and you had an animal nature coming into your heart, this part of you could show up in a lot of different ways. It could show up as a mountain lion. It could show up as an eagle. It could show up as an owl. It could come in as a panther. It could come in all kinds of different ways. And so the animal nature is a really important part of the heart path process because it gets you in touch with who you are in an instinctual way. It allows you to own your power as that primitive force. So when we do the heart path process and guide people inside, the animal nature becomes a real critical piece. And it's one of the foundation pieces of understanding who we are. Now, some people in evolutionary circles would say the animal nature is our base nature. I somewhat disagree with that. I think there's great wisdom in the natural world. Certainly eagles have better eyesight than human beings do. They can see from several hundred feet up whether there's a mouse somewhere on the ground or a squirrel in a tree. They can zero in on those creatures and they can attack them and eat them. Certainly a mouse has better hearing than most of us. A dog certainly have better hearing. So the instinctual nature, while it's primitive in its form, it's completely reactive. It gives us an understanding of how we are reacting in particular situations that are tough for us. If we're put up against the wall or we're surprised and we don't really understand ourselves, and we find ourselves reacting in a certain way and very automatically, that's our animal nature. So what helps us is to understand that nature. It will help us understand how we respond when we're attacked. How do we respond when we are sad or angry or confused about something? So this inner self, this animal nature, gives us an opportunity to know ourselves more. Now, I often have spiritual people who are very much involved in higher consciousness say, well, I don't really identify with my animal nature. Well, that's because they've been trained out of it. But it's still there. And they can't deny it. Because when they're in a pinch, they're going to react instinctually. We all do. We're all human beings on this path. So that's the first part of the animal nature I want to talk about. You could also align it in Native American spirituality with the with your animal powers or your animal guides, and those are also very valid and supportive ways of thinking about your animal nature. They're actually aspects of ourselves. Now, the next part of the heart path process is the inner child. And the inner child can often will come in at between ages of 3 and 5 when we're doing a guided meditation. And again, these processes, when you do a guided meditation, come in spontaneously. They're not manufactured in our thought process. They appear to us, and then they come forward. And so the inner child often comes between 3 and 5. Sometimes a child will come in as an infant, or it will come in as a later child, like 8, 7, 8, 9. What that indicates to the practitioner is kind of interesting, because usually if it's an inner child that's coming in as that main archetype, it's seeing between the ages of 4 and 6. But if it comes in earlier than that, very often there's been a wound of some kind that's occurred for the child. If they had a very tough birth, for instance, and the trauma of birth has not been released in the body, sometimes they'll come in as an infant, and they'll be literally like on the doorstep of the heart garden. The practitioner, in the training that I'm going to be doing, the practitioner will begin to understand when the child comes in, what that indicates for the patient or for the client, and how that can help them understand where the person is in their internal reality. So the inner child is another very important and creative part of ourselves that we bring in the heart path process. The other aspects are the feminine and the masculine aspects, or the doing masculine and being feminine aspects of ourselves. Now, I have had friends that are gay and say, well, wait a minute, I don't have a feminine, a masculine, I just have a feminine if they're female, or I just have masculine. And this may be true. Sometimes internally, if people are truly homosexual, they will have a particular, they will see themselves as both masculine or both feminine internally, but they still have a doing aspect, a part of them that does things, that puts things together, and they have a feminine aspect that is present with situations. When our identities get so tied up in doing, sometimes it's hard to feel the feminine aspect. The truth is, we all come from a mother and a father. We all come from an egg and a sperm. And so the masculine and feminine aspects are just calling forth those parts of ourselves, the being nature or feminine nature and the doing nature or masculine nature of who we are in our right and left hemispheres of our brain. Then there's the high self. And the high self is the one that can view things from a larger framework. It can give higher wisdom. It's connected to the greater universe, to our guides, our spiritual guides. And we all have spiritual guides, by the way. I do address this in the Heart Path Handbook. It's really in my first book, my previous book to this, which is called Heart Path, Learning to Love Yourself and Listening to Your Guides. That book, I talk extensively about how to connect with your guides. In this process, in the heart path meditation that I use actually in both books, but in this book where I'm, heart path handbook, where I'm teaching people about how to develop this in themselves, what you also learn about is your energy field, your spiritual guides, what kind of support you have in the universe, because we are never really truly alone. We always have guidance. And so that is something that I also talk about in this book. Along with this book, I have several other books that are coming out this year, I'm hoping. One is called Poems for the Lost Deer, which is my poetry book that I worked on in Mills College. This book is very different than Heart Path Handbook. And I'm just going to talk briefly about it, and then we'll go back to talking about the Heart Path Handbook. This book developed from an incident that actually occurred in the Point Reyes area of San Francisco Bay on Point Reyes Peninsula in the Point Reyes National Seashore. In 2008, Point Reyes National Seashore hired White Buffalo Incorporated and eliminated about over 1,000 deer, axis and fallow deer, that were considered to be invasive species. Now, the thing is that the Park Service began in the 1970s, and the deer had been there since the 40s. So they had become a very integral part of the people's lives out there and the people who lived near the seashore in Point Reyes. And they actually were assigned to me when I was a young woman that I should become a writer. And so I'm going to read a poem from this book that gives you an idea of some of the poetry in the book. This is a poetry book, and it's recently been picked up by a publishing house called Finishing Line Press, which I'm very excited about. So this will be coming out sometime in the next year. I tucked a tuft into my hat, laying down strands of hair in exchange. An old Indian song rose up in my throat. Palamiayo, palamiayo, thank you, Creator. Wankan tanka, toka heya, che wakieno. Tufts of their fur lay at my feet. Seven white deer appear grazing on a hillside. An apparition? Their presence answers their gaze at me. Going back to grazing, just after asking for a sign, is writing my path. After fasting for 2 days, walking those hills, rounding the corner of a yellow trail. So when I found out about the deer and how they had been killed and what happened in the protests, I decided I had to write a poetry book about it. And I decided that what I wanted to do is, I was just finding these poems like leaping out of me, because it is such an integral part of me that the earth be honored and recognized as something sacred and not just something that we can manipulate as human beings in a patriarchal culture. So this book is my bid for feminist poetics, as well as for understanding that we are all connected. So the book has a lot of poems in it that point to that and point to the fact that something happened when these deer were killed. Something happened to all of us. We were talking a little bit earlier about the animal nature and how animal nature is such an integral part of who we are. And this book, Poems for the Lost Deer, really gives the reader in it, my perspective on that, as well as the perspective of many other people who happen to live in Point Reyes. I'll read one more poem from this, and it'll give you a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about. This is called Dream Vision. Born to Earth, she flew up and out of it, towards me, shrieking her wild cry, her fist holding an obsidian blade, plunging into flesh from pubic bone to throat, splits me open. Rivers and streams, forests alive with rocks and snails follow. She was not through. She came again. And this time I was unafraid. I opened my arms wider this time. Still and again she lunged, and again more trees and forests and laughter pours from creeks where salmon swim up. A third time she flies, screaming wild uvular vocables, and this time plunges her black blade deeper still, and I surrender into rocks and rivulets pouring out around ever since. That was a vision that I had of this woman who actually was an actual woman, but she was representative in my dream vision of the earth herself, of the wild part of the earth that is untamed and a part of all of us. So this book goes over and over a lot of different thoughts from different people. It has a lot of different voices in it. And those different voices come from the protesters, from articles that were written in the Point Reyes Light and the San Francisco Chronicle. It has articles in it, and then it has what's called found language. So I extract language from these articles and make poems out of them. And then many, many poems that are from my, of course, own creative imagination. So it's a journey when you read this book, and it gives a lot of questions that we need to ask ourselves about the deer populations, about invasive and the labels that we put on invasive species and endangered species. Here's one called Question 1 for the Park Ranger. How are species managed? Pick a date, draw a line. Whatever team of experts deem, that is the way it is. What species are non-native? Pick a date, any date. 300 years ago? 150? Why not 75? Just draw a bleeping line. This was came from an actual interview with a park ranger who was pretty frustrated with his own system. And it was quite a surprise. So that's Poems for the Lost Deer, and I'm looking forward to having that come out. And I wanted to go back to Heart Path and talk about the Heart Path Handbook a little more and how it could help people evolve. So we're going to take another break, and I will be back in just a minute. Evolve. It teaches us and helps us learn about ways we can evolve within ourselves. I have guests on regularly from all over the country, and today we're talking about my own work for a change, which is kind of fun. I'm talking about my new book called The Heart Path Handbook, A Path of Transformation. A guide for transforming patterns of the ego from fear and anger to love. This is for therapists, healers, and health practitioners. Nihar Path process, as I've been saying today on the show, is a really a guided imagery process. And yet it goes very, very deep within the self. One of the things that I try to do when I work with this process is to make sure people are in a subconscious or an altered state. And what I do to help them get there is I guide them into themselves. I guide them, first of all, by connecting them with their own light. And we all have light that moves through our bodies. We have it coming from the top of our crown chakra, from the top of our heads, all the way through our bodies. We breathe air. We feel our heartbeat. Our breath is very important. And energetically, we have several what are called chakras or energy centers that go along about our spine. There are seven of them from the top of our head to the base of our body that actually bring energy into the system. So you can slow your breath and do exercises where you actually take a pendulum and you hold them over the chakra system, and you can perceive these chakras. They are energetic phenomena that are part of everybody's system. All animals have chakras as well, dogs, cats, creatures, any four-legged mammal has chakras. So these chakras help us to understand different aspects of ourselves. And what Heart Path does is it uses the heart chakra as the place where we can bring all the other aspects together. And literally, this is so in our physical bodies, but it's also true in our spiritual bodies. There are three chakras above our heads, above our hearts, and three chakras below. So the heart center becomes the one where all of them are connected above and below. And when you enter the realm of the heart, you are entering a vast, compassionate territory that helps us embrace the lower centers and support and reach for the higher centers. So in this process of Heart Path meditation, what we do is we go into the heart garden. I guide people through their light and come into the center of their hearts. And in their hearts, they are connecting with a place in themselves, in their own physical body. And I call that the heart garden. So in their imaginations and in their unconscious, they can create this sacred place of the heart garden, which becomes a safe place for them to come back to time and again. The heart garden actually is returning to the garden. If you are in the Christian theology, the return to the garden is really returning not to our innocence, not to our naivete, but to a fuller understanding of ourselves. And this garden that we can create in our hearts is the place that can be that garden that we return to become all that we are in ourselves. So what I find with the heart garden process, which is really exciting, is that it helps to heal the wounds of separation. What are the wounds of separation? Well, if you know yourself, you know that when we have pain or when we have lost someone, we feel cut off from them. We feel separate. And we can feel that whether or not we've lost somebody, but sometimes the child might feel separate, might feel abandoned. Maybe there was an incident where someone rejected you or you rejected them. This process can help heal those aspects by being attentive to them in the most compassionate place that we can be. It's exciting to help ourselves heal in the process of self-transformation. And what I witness every day when I work with people is how many people really want to feel the wholeness of their being. They really want to feel connected to all things. They want to feel connected to the trees, to the rocks, to the rivers. They want to feel connected to their inner selves and to their family of man, other people. So many people are in isolation. So the Heart Path process really helps people come into more connection within themselves, because very often the inner self is reflected in our relationships and in the outer self. So that's what this process actually helps people do. Now, you hear a lot of talk about the self and the big self, S self, and the little S self. And what I talk about here is how the small S self is the part of us that feels the separation, while the larger S self is the one who feels the greater connection or feels their presence with a greater universe. So the big S self is our unconditionally loving presence. I consider that to be the authentic self, while the separated self is dealing with the illusion that there's separation when actually there isn't. Now, that isn't to say that people are wrong. It's just that's how they feel. And so you have to work from where what they are feeling in themselves. And the Heart Path process helps, first of all, acknowledge who they are, acknowledge their wholeness, and then it helps them understand that all of the aspects of themselves that they're rejecting or not interested in relating to, those are the very aspects they need to embrace. I had a person in the other day, just to give you some examples, that had many, many segmented parts of themselves. They were in a life crisis and trauma. They were selling houses. They were breaking up with partners. They were having to deal with lots of transformation all at the same time. They had gotten ill. They were just on the verge of a physical breakdown as well as an emotional breakdown. So what I help them do, first of all, is calm down. And they were in quite a state of panic. And in this case, the person had worked with me before and asked if I would just put some hands on their forehead. And so I did. I just had them lay down on a table, and I put my hands on their front and back of their heads and just held their sixth chakra, which is your third eye, which comes up between your eyebrows. So I just held that for a moment, and I just helped that person come back into their bodies and come down into their feet. Because literally, when I looked at their energy field, that person was way out of themselves. There was so much change going on that their lower chakras had actually clamped down and squeezed their spirit right out of their bodies. So this, by putting my hands on their head, this helped them calm down. And eventually we were able to do the Heart Path process, where they went into their hearts and they found segmented selves from like 3 to 5, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, 14 to 17. You know, they had all these different segments of themselves that were living in different parts of their chakras. And so we were able to bring, in about a 2-hour session, we're able to bring all those aspects home to themselves and help them integrate. And it was a really an amazing transformative moment for this person, and it also gave me an understanding of how this process can be used for people in so many different circumstances. Because we are feeling beings, the Heart Path process works on a visual and a sensory level. It helps them acknowledge their feelings. One of the things that our culture does really well is it doesn't allow for people to have their feelings. You're always driving toward the next goal and the next goal and the next goal. And there's very little time to sit and process and integrate who we are. What the Heart Path process does is it gives us an opportunity to stop and feel who we are and what we're actually doing here. And it gives us a moment to come into the moment. It gives us a time to come into the moment. So in the next few minutes, what I'd like to do is to actually do the heart path process and give you that guided imagery. And then if you want to come to my workshop at East West, I'd be happy to have you. If you want to sign up for any kind of training, I'm more than happy to help. Again, I have meditations. I have a heart and soul workshop that I'm doing, and I have a shaman's workshop in August that I'll be doing. So I look forward to all of that's on my website, thecenterforthesoul.com. So now what I'd like to do is just do the heart path process with you as we go out. We have about 10 minutes left, and this will help you get connected with yourself. So we're going to start with the three stars of the self, the star above our heads, the one in our hearts, and the one in our bellies. Those three stars of the self are connected with a line of light or a tube of light that goes from one chakra to the next, from the crown to the heart, from the heart to the belly, and from the belly down through our root chakra all the way into the earth. Spiraling that energy down into the earth like a three-ply umbilical cord that comes from each of our feet and our root. You can just take a deep breath and relax and allow the cord to go down and down and down into the earth. And now taking another deep breath, draw the energy from the earth up through the feet and the knees and the hips and into the heart. And bringing your attention to the heart chakra, take a deep breath and clear a space away for yourself. This space is a space for you, a space that allows you to feel what is in your own heart. The space becomes a garden. Around the outside of the garden, there might be a fence or a hedgerow or a tree line. There might be a wild garden, or it might be a manicured one. But just see yourself standing inside this boundary of your heart garden. It may have a gate in the front that opens and closes. And right now it's closed, so you can be with the self. And standing in the middle of your heart garden, just now invite in your inner child. And just allow for the child to come forward. This child could be any age, could be a young infant, or could be 3 to 5, could be 5 to 7, whatever age, just invite the child in. Now invite in your animal natures. It could be more than one. You could have a four-legged predator. You could have a winged bird or creepy crawlies. Just invite all those critters in. These are your spirit animals, your guides. They're your teachers. So invite them to come in. Next, invite in your inner feminine nature, or the being aspect of the self, the one that can be with your feelings, with what is in your heart, what is on your heart. And now being with your masculine nature, with the part of you that knows how to do things. And if you don't relate to masculine and feminine, that's okay. You can just imagine your being nature, the feeling nature, and your active outward energy, doing nature. And now invite in your high self, your all-wise, all-knowing self. This is your heart garden, your inner family. This inner family is different than the outer family, than your children, your wives, your partners. This is different than your parents. This inner family has always known what you needed, has always known how to be with you. Your inner feminine and masculine, or your doing and being natures, know how to nurture you. So just notice what's needed on the inside of this heart garden. Notice whether or not there is communication between your masculine and your feminine, or your doing and your being nature. Do these two hemispheres of your brain work together? Do they help you work together, or are they working against each other? Just notice what is. Being with what is now, pay attention to the needs of the child and notice how your animal natures interact with each other and with the rest of your inner family. Those animal natures are here to help you. They're here to protect you. They're here to give you a sense of protection in the self. So now, if I were working with you as a person that came to me for some support, what I would do is I would ask you questions based on what you might have come in with. And those questions might have to do with, what is it that's needing to come? What fears or anxieties do you have that need to come to the outside of the garden that we could transform? So I would have the client bring those fears or anxieties to the outside of the garden. And then we would send those fears and anxieties love. And by using the old adage that all things are transformed with love, we just simply sit and love those aspects of ourselves. As we do, those fears and angers begin to change. They begin to soften and dissolve. They transform. And when we do this, they melt in the presence of our divine consciousness, in the presence of love. So this is the heart path process, and it's just the beginning. It can be used for so many things. So as you're in your heart garden now, what I'd like you to do is just take a couple deep breaths and come back very slowly into the room. And know that you can come back fully with your breath. Just let your breath bring you back. That's it. So the last thing I want to share with you is, besides dissolving fears and anxieties, that this path of the heart can help do so many, many things. It can help with past lives. It can help with old patterns, a victim perpetrator. It can help with all kinds of mind games and compartmentalization. It can help with all of the different ways that we can be with ourselves. So that's what the Heart Path Handbook does, and I'll be doing these trainings for people in the next couple of months, and I look forward to having people join me in my workshops. You can look on my website, centerforthesoul.com, and be more than happy to help you on the path of the heart, which can help you transform those old patterns of fear and anger to love. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to share with you my books, Heart Path Handbook and Poems for the Lost Deer. But I'd like to close today with a poem from Poems for the Lost Deer. And it tells us, after these deer were killed, I had a vision. And this is the last poem in the book. Full moon, clock tower striking 9. Ghost deer pour forth from white disk into a silver oval field. 1,050 stand around with all of us who love them still. They come back to softly nuzzle us and say, thank you for loving us so well. We forgive, Just know love is all that remains. This is Robin White Turtle listening. Thank you for joining us. And next month, I'll see you on Evolve.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for Convergence with John Caracella, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Evolve was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE.